Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, thank you for calling in for another episode of Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. And this is Kwajalein, and my husband Kenny is on the line. Babe, are you there?
Hey, everybody, how y'all doing?
Doing well. And yourself?
I'm blessed with riding, coming from getting my kids and my wife something to eat.
Hey now, meals on wheels.
You're funny, Keisha. So we thank you all for calling in. And if you are streaming and you would like to give us a call on the topic tonight, please call us at, 657-383-1571. Again, that's 657-383-1571. You guys, please be patient with me. I am tired for some reason on today. So yeah, that's why I'm sounding like that. So our lines are open. Keisha, hello. How are you?
Well, hello, Cordula. I'm doing well. And yourself,
how are you doing? You what?
I said, I'm doing well. And yourself, how are you?
I need doing a couple fine. With you. I know. She sounds like it's early in the morning, don't she?
She done had a cup of coffee or something.
She done had something.
No, not a coffee. I took my vitamins today, y'all.
Oh, you know what? I haven't taken mine in the last few days. It's probably why I'm sounding like this.
That's why you
said I'm going to make sure I'm gonna make sure I take them tonight. I'm not up all night. Oh my goodness. Well, we're glad that you're on tonight, and you know, all perky and everything and all that good stuff. And so you know, your line will be open, and we look forward to hearing what you have to say.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
You're not going to say welcome to the show, honey?
Huh?
You're not going to say welcome to the show, honey? I am calling in.
Okay, baby. Welcome to the show.
Is my line open?
Your line is open. Keisha, are you like, you're feeding into that? I told you about it.
Put the phone back on mute. My bad.
You didn't. Your line is open, sweetheart. Please feel free to join in on the conversation.
Well, thank you, honey. I will.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Hey, Mish.
Hey, Pastor. Hey, Pastor
How
Kenny.
Are you?
Hi, Keisha.
What's
I'm good. I'm laughing at y'all. Y'all are funny.
You know what, Mitch? That's not me. That's him. He tripping.
And your sister. I like y'all all funny.
Oh, that's Keisha Kaylee.
I'm here laughing. What's the topic, Pastor?
Huh? What'd you say?
What's the topic?
I hadn't even mentioned the topic yet. Oh,
okay.
So you're just in time. You're good. But you know your line is open. So we look forward to hearing what you have to say.
Okay.
Hey, Lily.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good. A little tired, but I'm doing well. Oh, well. Yes, yes. Glad to have you on. Yeah, I am. I'm tired today. I didn't take my vitamins like Keisha. I didn't take them yesterday.
It'll do it to you, girl. It'll do it to you.
It will, especially when you've been taking them, then you stop. So I have to get back on taking my vitamins. But, you know, as always, we thank you for calling in, and, you know, please join in on the conversation.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. And my mama's on the line, but I'm not going to ask her to say anything. Y'all can tell her, hey, and mama, your line is open if you, you know,
hey,
you have anything to say.
Hello, everybody.
Hey.
Hey, Mama. Well, good, then. Good.
Doing good. Good to have you back on, and hopefully you can give us some wisdom on tonight. As always.
Yep.
Well, tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is childhood anxiety. The issues of life sometimes affect children as well as adults. Many children deal with anxiety and stress, which often goes unnoticed. In cases where it is noticed, parents sometimes struggle with finding appropriate ways to help their children handle life's issues. And so, again, if you're listening and you would like to join in on the conversation, please give us a call at 657-383-1571. And we have one more caller. And then before we jump into the topic, lately I've been doing like a news story. And so I'm going to go ahead and do that one. But first we're going to say hello to Pastor Michelle. How you doing, Pastor Michelle?
Fine. How are you, Pastor Quadulis?
Doing fine. You sound better and better every time I hear your voice.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, ma'am.
Yep, you're sounding better. So keep doing whatever you're doing.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we would like for you to put in on the conversation tonight, so you know your line is open.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so the news story, there were actually two news stories that I wanted to go over, but for some reason I can't find the other one. Okay, but have you all heard that they are trying to make human pig embryos? And what they're trying to do is to grow human organs within animal bodies for the purpose of providing transplantable hearts, lungs, kidneys, and, you know, things like that. So they made the first one, the first human pig embryo, and it was destroyed. So what do you guys think about that? To me, that sounded a little weird. I mean, to me, just what do you guys think about that?
I'm just going to say it sounds
just insane. I don't understand. I don't even understand the logic behind some of the things that human mind even comes up with. Their conceptual thinking is so far off. It's just aggravated. Leave the pigs to the pigs and the humans for the humans. Amen. That's what I gotta say.
But they know, like I know, they'll leave that pig because in the Bible, the pigs ran off the cliff last I checked. I don't know.
You know you're talking about it.
wonder why a pig, though.
You know, I think I kind of understand why they're doing it, as far as with the pig. I've had a fistula built in my arm, and so they had to take an artery from my leg and put it in my arm. I had that choice to use my own and to take an artery from another place in my body, or I could use a pig's. I guess what they were saying is that as far as the closest thing to how a human artery is, a pig's is closest and actually won't reject in the human body. So they will use a pig's. For some people, if their arteries or their veins are bad, then they'll use one from a pig, and it will actually won't reject other animals. They said it'll reject for some reason in the human body. So I think that may be why. It may have something to do with it.
Well, that's interesting when they try to say we came from apes and try to call us monkeys and things like that. So I was like, the pigs. I don't know. That's just me. I don't know a whole lot about all that stuff. that's just a little interesting to me. Huh?
That's kind of weird.
So I don't know. But yeah, that was one of the news stories that I wanted to bring up. Does anyone else have anything to say about that? Any thoughts about that? Go ahead.
I saw when you posted it, and I meant to go back and read it. I just hadn't had a chance to read it. And although it is completely unorthodox, I think it's kind of cool. I mean, I think it's kind of cool. I think it's cool just because of the way technology is advancing and just the different things that we're able to do as where medicine and stuff is concerned. And I'm going to be honest. If it came down to it and I had a choice and I had to pick a pig heart or no heart, I'm really going to go with the pig heart. That's me. I mean, if I'm on a waiting list and they don't have any viable donors and my only option is to die or go with this heart that they grew in a pig, I'm going to go ahead and rock with that heart that they grew in a pig. Just being honest.
Now, I respect your honesty. I mean, I can't say that I wouldn't because I'm not in that you know, that position. And I guess that's what they're trying to do because so many people do die waiting on the transplant list. And so they're trying to find, you know, a way of, you know, I guess decreasing that, because the sad thing we know is that for someone to have a transplant, you know, to receive an organ, most of the time, not all of the time, you know, depending on the organ that they need, but a lot of the time, then, you know, someone has to die for that. And so, I guess I can understand where they're coming from. It just sounds pretty weird to me. It's just taking it, yeah. I don't know. That's just
I don't disagree with that.
But
I don't disagree that it sounds weird, and it is very, very, very abnormal.
But yeah, when it comes down to you saying live or, you know, leave my family and die and I'm not ready to die, then, you know, I guess, I don't know. It's just weird. Anybody else have anything to say about that? Nobody? All right. Well, we have a couple more callers. Caller ending in 5359.
Yes, good evening, everyone. This is Janelle calling.
Hi, Janelle. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Good to have you on. Is the baby asleep? Is he asleep?
Yes, ma'am.
He's sleeping. Okay. Yeah, her baby is so precious. I would just be kissing on him all the time. Oh, my goodness. I sure would. Well, good to have you back. And,
thank
you. Know, please join on in with us on tonight.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I think I have this right. Is this Evangelist Tomasa 5285?
Yes, ma'am.
I got it right. Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good, Pastor Fajlin. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. And thank you for calling in on tonight. And, you know, just like everyone else, your line is open. So, you know, jump on in.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so next thing, before we get into the topic, I know I said we were going to get directly into the topic after that, but I did want to ask y'all this. So how are you guys feeling about the ban that's going on? What they're saying, the Muslim ban that they're saying is not a Muslim ban. So what are you guys, how are you guys feeling about everything right now?
I think it's all a calculated move by this man.
Thank you, Lily, for having the courage. I'm just playing. Go ahead. Everybody has courage, and they're like, I'm not going to say it first. I'm going to wait for somebody else. What keto? Because I know keto would have been the first one to say it.
I think maybe some people were trying to hold back and trying to figure out how to articulate a response to that. I think that may be where some of that came from because, you know, the first thing that come out your mouth may not be the best thing to come out of your mouth.
I can imagine everybody's face. Go ahead, Lily.
He knows what
so
he's
what are you
doing. He knows what he's doing. A comment he made years ago is that he does not like Muslims and that he would like to bomb them off of the face of the earth. And I'm just glad that for the nuclear weapon that he's not the only one with the code. He has the code to it, but there's a second person that also has to put in the code because otherwise I think he would have done that already. But he knows what he's doing and he wants to alienate them and he's doing exactly what he wants to do, just like how when George Bush went in, his agenda was to go in and defend his dad, and he tried to put it off on, okay, we're going to go and I'm get, you know, Osama bin Laden. That had nothing to do with it. We know that. But, you know, it's just what they do. They have their agenda when they go in, and he's going in, and the things that he doesn't like and the people he doesn't like, he's just making it known, and he's doing what he wanted to do. He just now has the office to do it.
Yeah, well, he definitely said he was going to do it.
Yeah, he don't like Muslims, and he said that. He doesn't like them, and he's and in his way, he figures he's trying to get America back to the way that it should be, but he's forgetting, you know, they're immigrants just like you. You know, Native Americans were the ones who, you know, weren't the immigrants. But in a lot of people's eyes, a certain color people's eyes, they feel like everyone else is in their country. United States is their country, and everybody else is an immigrant. They don't understand. They are too.
Right. Well, I think they understand. They just don't care. So
they
being Christians, so, you know, by us being Christians, how do you all feel about him, you know, saying that he's going to allow the Christian refugees in first?
I'm glad somebody's helping them. They were being persecuted, you know, if they said that they were a Christian and that they love Christ, they were being shot in the head, the babies were being killed, and people were still saying, no, we're not going to let those refugees in because Muslims might sneak in with them. So I'm glad someone's helping the people of God on that end.
But thank you, Lily. Anybody else want to comment on that? That's Keto. Hey, Cookie. I mean, Adriana, how are you?
I'm good, Pastor. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. Thank you for calling. Your line is open.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Pastor Quadro.
Hey, Keto.
Can I say something?
Oh.
Uh-huh. Hello.
I'm sorry, I didn't
mean to
do that.
How you doing, Keto? Keto, I just not too long, so we're doing good, doing good.
That's definitely good to hear.
Doing good. Go ahead, Pastor Michelle, what'd you say?
I'm going to have to say I didn't even look at it from Lily's standpoint of view, but in that sense, I have to agree with her wholeheartedly. It's just a little break for the big thing. And I think if they can be saved in that sense for now, then I agree with that. I mean, I still believe in my heart, this is just me, there's not a Christian bone in his body because of the things that he does not exemplify, display Christ at all. He is not showing love. As a matter of fact, he's very antagonizing. He's very boastful. He's very narcissistic. So he's not showing any qualities of Christ. However, if him doing this is what's going to save some people of God, Lily, I agree with you 100%.
Okay, thank you for that. Anybody else? Anyone want to say anything?
Well, I agree with everything that everybody is saying. But at the same time, I don't feel like it's, and I'm not saying that you guys are saying this at all. I don't feel like it's okay for him to say, if you're a Christian, I'll let you in. But if you're if you're a Muslim, I'm not. Like, I'm just not. I don't think that's okay. I don't think the basis for letting someone into a country should be what their religion is. I mean, if these people are being persecuted and killed and hunted down for whatever reason and they need some reprieve and they need somewhere to go that is a safe haven for them, then I don't think you should say, if you cannot check this box because you are a Christian, then you're going to have to stay where you are and be basically slaughtered like cattle.
Here you go.
Well, I would say that it is really a form of segregation if you think about it, right? Because you're taking a certain religious group from a certain country and saying you cannot enter this country right now until we work things out. So I know you've been here for 10 years, 15 years, but, we're going to have to send you back. And if you're en route getting ready to come here for, the first time, or you just come in here and you got a visa and everything's approved on that side of the atmosphere, on that side of the Earth's hemisphere, well, we got to wait till we get that done. Now, granted, I believe in everybody getting, background checks that are entering. However, at the same time, America, if you look at it for years, and we're talking after America had been stolen from, the natives that were here, America has always been a country of, the land of opportunity, the land of free, right? But I also think it's a form of prejudice and racism, too, because you can't just necessarily take a particular nationality and say, hey, if you speak this language or if you have this religion, then, you ain't welcome here. That's just like me being an African-American trying to go into a sports bar or a go into a golf club and they tell me I can't come in there because, I don't fit the description of people that actually frequent there. So to me, I think it's a bit extreme, you know. But at the same time, you know, you have families that are being torn apart right now just because of this. And then it's just not cool. And that's all I got.
I actually had a debate with a old Marine Corps buddy, his wife, about this just today on Facebook. You know, because she put a post up there and it showed, you know, a bunch of men from some country in the Middle East, and they were stoning this woman because I guess she had committed adultery or something. They didn't get into specifics, but I know that's one of the reasons why they do it. But anyway, and you know, and her caption was, "This is what you want in this country." So my reply to her was like, "No, I don't. That's not what we want per se, but it would be nice to have tolerance." You know, as a minority, I completely understand what it's like to be discriminated against. You know, whereas a majority of America does not know what it feels like to be discriminated against because you're not the minority. You know, it's the thing, like what we're doing right now is no different than what ISIS is doing to Christians in Iraq. And y'all are the ones that said, "Oh, we got to go to war and stop that." What we're doing right now is no different than what the KKK did to black people. You're pointing at them and saying they're all Muslims, so they're all bad. Just like the KKK pointed at my ancestors and said, "He's black, so he's bad." What's the difference? How does that, you know, how does that make us any better than these groups that we're supposed to be hating and fighting against and protecting ourselves from? How does that make us any better? And, you know, then her rebuttal was something like, "Well, if you had a whole bowl of cornflakes and seven of them were poison, would you eat the whole bowl of cornflakes?" And I'm like, that's completely, totally irrelevant because, like, right now, you know, I work with people from all walks of life. I got a dude from Jamaica that I work with. I got another guy from Africa. I got white guys from the country. I got white guys from the city. You know, there's a Mexican and two Puerto Rican dudes, and this is just all, like, in my company. You know, so we come from all different places, but somehow we come together in the end to get the job done. How come we can't do that on a bigger scale with just the whole country? You know, one of the finest soldiers I've ever served with was a Muslim, straight out of Pakistan, and would be the first one to pull the trigger if something bad was going to happen to one of his brothers. But because of how he looks, you know, he now all of a sudden he's the bad guy. You know, without knowing nothing about him, without knowing his story, without knowing, you know what I mean, he's been to combat 3-4 times and all of this, but he's the bad guy. You know, he's fought for the United States of America, but he's still the bad guy just because of how he looks. And how fair is that? It's not. It's not fair at all. You know, while I do agree there needs to be some sort of vetting system, you know, something, you know, like there needs, I mean, I'm not saying turn Ellis Island into a turnstile where people could just come and go as they please. But at the same time, just like Pastor Kenny said, it's a bit extreme just to say, "Okay, you seven countries, y'all don't have no business being in my country." That's a bit extreme.
If it ain't
that's what Lily was saying earlier, too. Anybody else?
Well, me personally, I understand where everyone is coming from. I have to agree that I don't think that it's fair to just to you know, say because you're Christian you can enter in first, because in America we're what they're supposed to stand for. You know, we know this isn't what we've really seen. But we're supposed to stand for equal opportunity. We're supposed to stand for freedom of speech. We're supposed to stand for, you know, freedom of religion. So that's what we're supposed to stand for as a country. You know, so, like, we can have this radio show, which is Christian-based, even though there's some people that don't believe in Christianity. You know, so that's what we're supposed to stand for. And honestly, all of this is just breaking my heart. As I, you know, when I look at social media and I look on television and I see the, you know, the hurt, the fear, and the anger of these people. And the thing is, it's not just Americans. Like, this is around the world. You have people in other countries, other governments. They're upset. They're not just a little, you know, no, they're angry. These people are angry. And it's hurtful because regardless of what we choose to believe, we're people, you know, and to just make a decision like that and to separate families, you know, people are in the airplane and they arrive here and then find out they can't get in and they have been staying here for years and they don't know where they're going to go, what they're going to do. Like, it's just heartbreaking. To me, there's no excuse, and I have to completely agree with Pastor Michelle. I do not understand how anyone would represent him, how anyone would consider him a Christian. I hear a lot of Christians saying that he's a Christian and God is all in his administration, and I could be wrong, but I do not see that. I don't see it. I don't understand it, and I wish I could sit down and talk to one of them. I wish somebody would just really give me why, you know, they're thinking behind that. And I don't want to hear because he's against abortion. I don't want to hear that. It has to be more than that. You know, it has to be more than that. First of all, we don't really know what he's against because, you know, my husband can't say all of this, but I can. He's not a man of integrity, so you don't really know. You don't know what he's for, what he's against. He's not. And so it bothers me. It bothers me. He is no representation of the God I serve, not the God that I know. The God that I serve is a God of love. I'm sorry, this is not, no. I understand about trying to keep America safe and all of this. I don't understand all of that about make America great again, because I'm sorry, I'm not understanding how America was so great in the first place. Not talking against the country. I know, I mean, I love my country, but I'm just saying, you know, there's always been things. We've always had, again, this wasn't their land. They came over, they brought illnesses, and they got these people sick and took their land, put them on reservations, brought over slaves, did them all kinds of. I mean, where is the greatness in that? Even the women, Caucasian women, they didn't even have rights. They're still marching for rights. You know, so that's just my view on it. Not trying to offend anybody. People don't have to agree with me, but that's just my view on it. You know, my take of my perception of greatness is something different. Not saying that we don't have it better than a lot of other countries, you know, because we do. So I'm not taking away from that. I just think that this is just heartbreaking. This is heartbreaking to me. And it's heartbreaking that even in the Christian community, we have such a divide about this. Like, this is crazy. You have one set, you know, you have those that are in the middle, but you have one set, they are convinced that this, you know, this man is of God and his administration is of God and he is, you know, taking Jesus back to the White House, and, you know, we don't care how much you march, and we don't care what you say, you silly liberals, and this and that, but he's taking Jesus back to the White House, and, you know, and then there's, you know, then we have the other group, like myself, you know, I don't understand where y'all see Jesus going back to the White House, you know, from somebody who says they don't even have to ask God for forgiveness. He doesn't even have to repent. I don't even understand that. So that's just my take on it. And I'm going to stop right there because I have to really get on the bandwagon. Hey, Evangelist, how are you?
Oh, sorry. I'm doing fine, Pastor Quadula. How are you and Pastor Kenny?
Great.
Doing good.
Well,
and hello, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, Evangelist.
So your line is open.
Hi,
Well, look, we were supposed to talk about childhood anxiety, but it's like 8:36. So, baby, it's okay. I'm about to change this up real quick. Sorry, y'all. I apologize.
Pastor Quadler.
But, yes.
Can I say something really quick?
You can. Go ahead.
You know how you were saying that a lot of people were saying that they feel like he's going to bring God back to the White House and back to America? I was so against that statement until I thought about how nothing brings people to church and brings people to God like when you're in a situation and the devil is right in front of you and he is scaring the mess out of you because he is doing all this crazy stuff. People run to God then. So in that way, with the crazy stuff he's doing, and to me, he, you know, he does represent the devil. So he's standing right in front of us acting a fool. So nothing will bring people to God like the things that he is doing. So in that respect, I agree.
Okay. Well that way, I can see what you're saying, but just saying bringing God back to the White House. Because
but no, not
the,
like how everybody else was saying. No, I
don't agree with that at all, and that just really bothers me that people think that way. But again, I'm going to woosah and get off of that. Hey Shannon, how are you doing?
Hello, good evening everyone.
Good evening.
Thank you for calling in. Thank you. We were supposed to talk about childhood anxiety, but we're, you know, it's 8:37.
Okay.
So actually what I would like to do is to change it if that's okay with you guys, and we can go ahead and we can reschedule that for next week. But especially since we have Jonelle on the line, because she sent something to me last night, so we can go ahead and discuss this for the rest of our time tonight. And thank you for the topic, and we do take topic suggestions. So I'm asking that you guys please give us your suggestions. I think we touched on this before, but we would like to get more into detail on this. Should there be a dress code in the church? I know we touched on it before, but do you guys think that we should have a strict dress code in the church, you know, like written on paper, this is the dress code, you know, in order for you to get in, that type of thing. What do you guys think?
Well,
nope.
I'll be the first to go. Hallelujah. All right, so check this out, y'all. Me, personally, I think there should be a dress code simply because, you know, people have this cliche about come as you are. When people say that, come as you are, we're looking at the fact that if you come as you are broken, wounded, scarred, you know, from the ways of this life and the troubles of this life, and you come as you are, you know, and then you allow God to repair you from the inside out. And once he repairs you and renews you from the inside out, then, as the Word of God says, behold, the old things, I can't remember. I'm going to paraphrase it, but y'all know exactly the scripture because I can't remember right now because I'm talking so fast. I got to calm down. For the old things are gone away, and behold, all things are new. New things. You're now a new creature in God, basically, because you have given your life to him, and he's gonna make you brand new. But the dress code, back to the dress code. I say there should be a dress code simply because you have little boys that come in skinny jeans, sagging, showing their underwear. That's very inappropriate for a house of worship where we're coming in to reverence the Lord, our God. And then there are some young ladies that haven't come into the full knowledge of realizing that you don't have to try to show and sneak and show every curve of your body to get some attention from a man. Just be who you are, right? And then for the older men, I believe the older men should have a dress code simply because they are to be the example or the elderly example to the younger men, and you know, the adult men. And then for the older ladies, I think that they should also be a model for the younger ladies and the younger ladies' daughters, just as the Bible mentions in Timothy. So, I mean, there should definitely be a dress code, and that's just my belief. And, yeah.
Well, baby, I love you. I do, but I have to disagree with you on that. Hey, Kyra, how are you?
Go ahead. All right.
Oh, hello. Hey, yes, I'm getting in the heat of it. Yes.
Hey, hey, Kyra.
Hello. Hello, everybody. Ooh, what's the topic?
I changed the topic. Kyra, I just changed the topic. So we're going to talk about childhood anxiety next week.
great. Great.
I disagree because I do believe that there has to be teaching that goes forth after people come in. But I think that especially when you're speaking of newer Christians and you're drawing people in, a lot of times they don't know. And so when we have, I think sometimes we have too many rules anyway, which is why people don't want to come to church, because we got all these rules. This is just me.
Wow.
Amen. We have all these extra rules, and so people don't want to come in. And so instead of drawing them, it deters them, and that's not what we're supposed to be doing. So I think, you know, we draw them, and then as we draw them, we teach them in love. That's my opinion.
Boom.
Anybody else?
Wow.
I got you. I understand that. Yes, but I still believe there should be a dress code after.
I agree with you, Kwajalein. I understand Kenny's position. I understand your position. But I do agree. I think that, first of all, the way we dress nowadays is just completely different. It's the younger generation. I was looking at this man today with these tight pants and these dress shoes, and he just, no. That's all the way wrong.
I agree with you on that. I totally agree with you on that.
I don't like it. I don't like this new look with these brothers. I'm not feeling it. But you know, that's their style. However, I think that just like Kwajalein is saying, there has to be some teaching, because especially like a lot of the young girls that I mentor, you know, they look like they going straight to the club, but that's all they have. That is all they have. And so I tell them, you know, it's okay. It's okay. You know, and when you get you a little bit of money, you know, you can wear some regular pants that don't fit and show everything, you know. But for today, this is okay. Don't feel bad. You know, it's okay. So because we have to get them in, we have to draw them in, we have to attract them. And we don't want to put too much emphasis on your hair, your color, what you got on. No, because more than likely you got some issues that you need to get resolved. So
that's
my comment.
Amen.
And you brought up, like you were saying, your hair, and that leads to something else, because when we're talking about implementing a dress code, then what I may think is acceptable may not be what you think is acceptable. Like,
exactly.
You know, Shannon, you wear the colors in your hair, and it looks great on you. Well, some people might be like, that's not acceptable for church.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
They show exactly. Mm-hmm. Because now my hair is purple, so, and when the church lights hit it, honey, it's bright. So, and they may, you know, some people may be like, well, where's she going? You know, so that is true.
But I think it looks great on you. That's one thing I've always admired about you. You have your own style. And, you know, but it goes back to, so how do I base that dress code? What do I base it off of? Do I base it off of what I feel is appropriate? Or, you know, so that leads to that.
Good. I'm glad you asked that question, dear. Because before I got attacked. No, I'm playing. But I think there should be a dress code, but I think it should be to the point of where you still have the opportunity to have your own style of dress, but not to the point of where a young man is coming into the church with his pants below the equator showing his underwear. Don't nobody want to see your bacon strips. You know what I'm saying? No. You know, but you wear your pants up on your hips, young man. This is how young men supposed to dress.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes to young ladies, look, young ladies, it's all right to have a little. It's all right to have a dress on. You know, it's all right to have a dress on, but don't come in with a mini dress on, with a split way up to your hip. You know what I'm talking about? So that should be a dress code implemented. But you're teaching them. You're teaching them gently to the point of where you're showing them. Okay, if you had a job interview, you would dress nice. If, you know what I'm saying? And then you wouldn't dress like you're going to a job interview, going to the club.
So
in actuality, most people have their implemented dress codes.
Oh, yes, they will.
You know.
Wait a minute.
I just want to throw this out there.
I have interviewed several people who came into my office looking like they just walked out of somebody's nightclub. So, trust me, they will come in. They will come in looking for a job the same way they go to church.
Well, see, that's because of lack of teaching.
That's what we're saying. So if you're talking about the young men wearing their pants below the equator and things like that, and so this is why we do need, like Shannon said, she's a mentor. This is why we need mentors. This is why we need to see more of that in the church. We need to see, and not saying that no churches have it, but this is why we need to see more of that as the church. We need to see more of our men stepping up and mentoring our boys. You know, safely. I'm not talking about some of this other foolishness where people think they boys safe and they're not. I'm talking about really, you know, in love, teaching them the right way, and, you know, and the same thing with the young ladies, because the older women are supposed to teach the younger ones, you know, the younger ones, the more mature ones. We are supposed to, you know, not that I'm all that old, but y'all know what I'm saying. We are supposed to mentor and train. And so I think sometimes we get so caught up in the, I don't know, what am I trying to say, the religion, I don't even know what I'm trying to say, that we
legal.
Focus the legalism.
The legalism.
We get so caught up in the legalism, you know, and and that's part of the problem, but that's just me.
Well,
okay.
The Bible teaches us that the older women are to teach the younger women.
Amen.
And vice versa for the men. And it also says that the Spirit of the Lord will condemn you when you are not dressed appropriate. I don't expect someone that don't know the Lord to come in dressed the way that we dress in church because they don't know how to dress. So they got to be. Then, as one in, well, they might not have the clothing at the time, but that's not for us to turn them around, because the Bible said God will provide. So once we teach them the ways of God, and with the Holy Spirit on the inside, he's going to teach too.
Yes,
but
he will.
Crucify them according to the way they're dressed. Then that's going to push them back out into the streets. We don't want to push them. You said the love and kindness have our drone.
Come on now.
And sometimes we have to take them aside and take them shopping and buy them the things that they need.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's right, because you know a lot of times we want to dish out orders and give our opinions on things, but we don't want to come out of our pocket and say, "Well, here, let me bless you with something." We don't want to do that. Or as soon as they walk in the door, we back that girl. Cut me a honey, and let me give you this handkerchief. You know what I'm saying? And you know, and then,
True, but see, the whole point, what I'm trying to make is the church has, how can I put it? It's like they go to Big Lots and they find the perfect throw for that young lady that come in there with a skirt, and they had like 85 throws in the corner, and they got their evangelists, and they got their ministers, and they got their deaconesses on standby. Girl, she sit down wrong, throw it on her. Girl, she do this, throw it on her. Girl, look, y'all build a wall around it if she get up and start shouting. That's why you should dress appropriately, so that way you can praise the Lord the way you want to praise the Lord. Because ain't nobody tripping about you getting a shout and praising the Lord. But if you got on something that's just too revealing, and you go to hop and run, that's not right.
But if everybody was paying attention to praising the Lord instead of paying attention to love, then it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Oh, my God.
Focus on God, not the chick that sits next to you.
I kind of sort of agree with Pastor Kenny on this one, because, like for the longest, you know, like, I had my issues with the church, and I swore I wasn't going to go back, you know, until pretty much I hit rock bottom, and I had nowhere else to go. You know, so I started going back to church. And at the time, I lived in Germany. And, you know, I have a unique shape, so I just can't go to the mall and just go buy clothes. You know, I have to, like, you know, I just can't go to any mall. You know, I have to, like, you know, go try stuff on and make sure it fits right. So, you know, I'd be in Germany. You know, I try to put on, you know, my best couple pair of jeans and a button-down shirt just to go to service, because, you know, I felt like, you know, that was, like, the best thing I had to wear. But best better believe, as soon as I got back to America, you know, I went to, like, I got, you know, probably a dozen dress shirts and about 6-7 pair of dress pants upstairs right now with shoes to match. Because when I was a wee little boy, you know, like, my grandmother, she would take me to the Goodwill to go get me a suit that she had, just so I had a suit to wear to church. I had but one suit, but that thing was going to be clean every Sunday when I came over to her house so we could go to church.
Amen.
You know, and so I learned young that, you know, like, you dress the part. You know, now I understand if you're in a position to where, you know, you only got, you know, T-shirts and sweatpants, you know, by all means, if that's all you got, then wear what you got. But, you know, I think, like, coming in there with like Pastor Kenny said, with your pants below the equator, that's just disrespectful. That's just disrespectful, because you were probably taught better than that. You were probably taught better than that. That's just flat-out disrespectful. You know, and, you know, I guess it's also a thing, like, too, I'm getting older. You know, I'm about to be 40 years old. Why am I going to be walking around 40 years old with my butt hanging out? And that don't even make no sense. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you should have to dress the part, per se. You know, I don't know. I'm not going to say you got to be in there in a tuxedo every week. But at the same time, at least don't look like you just woke up and rolled out the bed or came from the club or something.
Amen.
Say it, brother. Come on with it now. Come on.
I have a question.
Anybody
else?
Yeah. Go ahead. How do you all suggest, and this is a question for anybody to answer, for those who are more seasoned in the church that are still dressed in this way, wearing the bodycon dresses where you can see the underwear and all that other stuff, how do you have those conversations? Because I mostly see it with people that have been in church and are in church or in a ministry or volunteering in the church, on the choir, on the pulpit, in the pulpit, you know, up there singing or whatever the case is. So how do we address those things to people that we are in church with on a regular basis? They're in Bible study. They're coming to prayer.
I would address it. I mean, this kind of comes easy to me, you know, as a, you know, staff sergeant in the army. You know, you got to correct soldiers all the time, and you do it tactfully. You know, hey, pull them to the side, like, hey, you know, because for all they know, they might not know you can see their underwear through their dress.
Sure.
You know, I highly doubt that somebody would come to church knowing that you can see all your goodies through your dress. I highly doubt that. You know, I mean, there are some sick individuals that would, you know, kind of find that amusing. But, yeah, I don't think people – I don't think a woman, a Christian woman, would do that intentionally. So that's when you pull it to the side and say, hey, you know, this is what's going on. And I'm pretty sure she'll be shot.
Well, Keto, some of them will. they will. Now,
oh, no, that's why I said there's some people out there that just get off on that.
Yeah, they will. Now, I can say with the more seasoned Christians, definitely there should be more of an expectation. The more you grow, there should be an expectation. Now, I cannot say that I don't believe in dress codes when it comes to certain things. Like if you're on the praise team, you know, then yeah, we need to discuss this as a, you know, as a praise team.
Amen.
If you are licensed as an evangelist or something, then we're gonna need you to, you know what I'm saying? But before licensing, I think these are things that should be addressed. You know, that we should be watching, you know, so by the time we get to that point. And some people come in already licensed. But, you know, if you're getting licensed under that ministry, then I definitely think that is something, you know, that should have already been addressed. I know in Colorado we used to have that issue with some of some of the evangelists. And first, she didn't play. You know, she, praise team, she would get them to business. But, you know, she wasn't as hard when it came to, you know, when it just came to the congregation. But when it came to her praise team members, and that was an evangelist, you know, that was it was different. It was different. So, yes, definitely, if you are seasoned and, you know, and you are definitely, if you are on a, you know, an auxiliary or something like that, then the leaders definitely need to be addressing that one-on-one, you know, as well as with that ministry. But that's my take on it. Anybody else?
Kwajalein, yes. This is Kyra. I've been listening, just kind of listening and whatever. I've been to church, you know, military, whatever. So we were at churches where everyone dressed up, straight up, you know, Sunday best. We were part of another ministry where you could wear jeans, you know what I'm saying, and a T-shirt. And the only thing that mattered is that you love Jesus and that you were serving in the church. I mean, and at that church, I'm going to be honest, there was not any inappropriate dressing because anyone could wear, you know, it wasn't, you know, a code. I mean, I mean, you know, everybody was just dressed comfortable. And a lot of times that was like, you know, sneakers and jeans and a T-shirt, and you go in and have a great worship experience, and everybody's loving each other. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a perfect church, but that was very different. That was very, very, very different for me because I was, you know, I grew up in a traditional, you know, African-American church, and, you know, we dressed up going to church. Well, the church we are in now, we have about almost 300 leaders. And when I say leaders, I mean, we are all over a ministry. We're definitely set aside and set apart from, you know, the other members of the church. We are expected to dress up on Sundays. We're expected to dress up. Now, I'm saying dress up, but you know what I'm saying? Like you know, it, no jeans, no T-shirts, no, you know, you're not getting ready to just walk up in there any kind of way or whatever. We are expected to dress that way. The reason why is to be an example to those who do not know. And because we are in leadership, if they want to, you know, they need examples. So our pastors believe in, okay, we got people coming up in here off the street who don't know. Well, they're going to have 300 leaders up in here who are going to show them, you know, this is appropriate. It doesn't have to be expensive. My pastor, because a lot of people are like, you know, well, if you want us to dress up, how do we do that? She said, you know, how do we buy these clothes you want us to? And she's like, the same money that you were going to go buy those whatever jeans with, go buy you some slacks. You know, I mean, she does the same thing with praise team. They don't get up there. If they get up there and they look in some kind of way, you know, the skirt is short or whatever, she will pull you to the side. And I think that's a very unique role of the first lady, you know, or co-pastor and the pastor. You know what I'm saying? You have, you know, we have, you know, deacons and deaconesses who will say something or whatever, but they do it in love. You know, we have to look at, you know, Matthew was a tax collector in the Bible. Luke was a doctor. Ain't nobody going to tell me they, you know, they were discipled into how to go after, you know what I'm saying, how to be fish, you know, fishers of men. They were discipled. So they did not come in knowing, but Jesus was the example. And so the more they hung around Jesus, the more that they were with him and spent time with him, they began to mimic, they began to, you know, act more like him. Yes, they still had tempers and, you know, they still had their issues, but they began to, you know what I'm saying, mimic and be more like him. And so I believe there has to be some type of, I'm saying code, but some type of example in there about what is appropriate, you know, in the house of God. Now, we could, if you're comfortable and cute, that's all that matters. You know what I'm saying? But it has to be appropriate because people do come in and they do not know. But the longer they are there, they will know. And God, well, it's the unique role of the Holy Spirit to do the changing. We can say something, but the Holy Spirit will speak to hearts. He will speak, and then they'll say, you know what, I don't think this is appropriate. They'll start looking in the mirror maybe two or three more times, like, you know, before they leave the house, like, you know what, this is too tight. You know, but, you know, in reality, you know what I'm saying, or in the past, it wouldn't be like that. Shoot, I'm wearing this, I look good. But then when the Holy Spirit begins to do a work and you have people around you who are you know, doing that thing or whatever, you start looking and say, you know what, you know, you look in the mirror that third time, you probably need to change. You know what I'm saying? You probably like, you know what,
right.
Maybe my cleavage, you know, my cleavage is showing, you know what I'm saying? But that's the unique role of the Holy Spirit. But as leaders in the church, we do have a responsibility to be that example about what is appropriate, you know, to wear, just period. Our pastor says you're always on the interview. Now, that's what our co-pastor said. In other words, you know, ain't nothing wrong with sweatpants and T-shirts or whatever, but, you know, she is there. Our bishop and pastor are very big on be the example because, you know, so many people coming up in here and don't know a thing. So that means in the way we dress, in the way we speak, in the way we greet people when they come through the house of God, you know, not just going with our buddies and talking. We're expected to go to seek out somebody you don't know and say, hello, how are you doing? Is this your first time today? So in every area, we do have to be examples, and that with the dressing at our church, it's definitely a, you know, and if that's all they got, we got it. Ain't nobody in their face, you know what I'm saying? But as time goes on, it does change. It does change.
Come right. on. And you know, and I agree with we are, we should always be an example. That's even outside of the building.
Starts with
you know,
us.
That's how
that's
I
right.
see it.
That's
you know,
right.
Me,
yes.
Like if we never have another
yes.
ministry, I'm all good with the jeans. You know that's
right.
But you know,
right.
not tight jeans. You know, not that.
Right.
That's just me. Like I felt very comfortable when we went to
mm-hmm.
when we were going to Destiny. There were days I did.
Destiny.
You know, I dressed up. There were
yes.
days where, like you know, we wear our jeans.
Correct.
We attended a church here
mm-hmm.
the other week, and it reminds me a lot of Destiny. The same
wow.
way, you know, Pastor was up there. He had on his jeans and stuff. Gave a very
yes.
powerful message. But I think yes, I agree that we do have to be that example, and I think we are to be that example
yes.
all the time. Not saying that you,
yes.
you know, like you said, and that's
yes.
pants on a T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's nothing. There's nothing wrong with that. You know,
mm-hmm.
but we need to always.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain way as children of God that we are to carry ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean
that's
we're never
right.
going to
that's
fall?
Right.
We're never going to. That's not what that means. I'm not
correct.
Saying we're going to be
that's
perfect.
Right.
You know, but
that's right.
It shouldn't be something that
mm-hmm.
you know, seen on a regular. That should be improvement.
Mm-hmm.
If we
mm-hmm.
are, you know, the more we grow,
that's right.
Then people that are, you know, have not grown to that level where we are, they should be able to look at us, you know, to
yes.
look up to us. And like you said, you know, we should be that example. They should be able to, you know, model some things about us.
Yeah.
Not just our dress, but how we,
not just
you know,
dress.
Our
that's right.
You know,
yes.
like you said, greeting people, that's one of the worst things. I think that's one of the worst
it
issues
is.
We have in a
at you crazy.
Yes, it is.
They want to roll their eyes and, you know,
yes,
what I'm saying? Or they sleep the first
yes
day and then you come back and they, at, you know, they not
right
like that. We shouldn't
exactly
be doing that. And,
exactly.
You know, we should always,
and they won't come back.
Right,
mm-hmm,
right.
You know
they.
Right.
I mean, who would if they
that's
if
right
they feel like they're not being welcomed?
That's right. That's right.
You
that's
know
right.
So,
mm-hmm,
yeah, and you gave a perfect example about, you know, Jesus and the disciples, and that's right. That's our job. Our job is to, you know, bring in disciples and to teach them,
yeah,
and not to be, you know, dictators. That's not our job.
Right.
That's
right
what we're supposed to
right
be doing.
Amen. Amen.
So that's
amen
just my take. Anybody else? I'm sorry.
You know, I want to say something. That I, you know, I agree with, you know, dressing a certain way in church. And, you know, I believe that if you do see, you know, one of your brothers and sisters and they continuously, you know, are dressing a different way,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
instead of, you know, just, you know, talking about them or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm,
go up and talk to them and see,
mm-hmm,
you know, well, what's going on. Maybe they really don't know because they're too new, and
true
if they've been there
that's
a while,
right,
maybe something is going on.
That's right.
Have they lost weight and, you know, their clothes are all
mm-hmm
different, or have they gained
mm-hmm
weight
mm-hmm
and, you know, everything is tighter now and, you know,
mm-hmm
they just, look, you just can't afford to buy anything
true
different, so you've just been coming
mm-hmm
in what you have. And instead
mm-hmm
of taking the time to go buy, you know, another prayer cloth or something to put over them, take the time and say, you know what, oh, I seen this dress and I thought it would look so nice on you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it, and buy something that fits, you know, more
mm-hmm
probably. You never know, that might be what they needed, you know.
Amen.
Or, you know, maybe they've been dressing a certain way, you know, and they're going through something, you know, just emotionally or with their self-esteem. And
mm-hmm
so they started all of a sudden dressing
mm-hmm
different. And you showed them by, you know, by getting, you know, this skirt or this top
mm-hmm
or this dress or whatever, man, you showed
mm-hmm
them, look, you can look really cute like this. You know, you look good and you
yes
don't have to dress this other way. You know, you don't know
yeah
exactly what's going on, but I think that we
right
should remember that this is your brother or sister and treat
amen
them that way. You know, go to your
amen
brother or sister. Okay, well, what's going on? How can I help?
Amen.
I think it
amen
would be nice.
May I?
If, go ahead.
I would like to interject, please, for a moment. I've been listening, and I was the one who came up with this conversation, actually. And there are just a few points that I wanted to say really fast here. One point I do want to point out, you know, I have not been saved all my life. I used to club back in the day. And when I went to the club, you know, the clubs had dress codes. So you couldn't
mm
wear certain things and get in the club. Like, they had some clubs I went to, you couldn't wear the sneakers and the jeans. But if you want to
yeah
pay your money and go in that club, you're going to pull
yeah
out your heels and your good clothes.
That's
I'm not
right
saying there should be a dress code in the church, but if people
mm-hmm
can follow the dress codes in jobs, in the
amen
club, and everywhere
amen
else, if a church
amen
had a dress code, it should not
amen
be a problem for the people to follow. And I do understand
mm
that, you know, people are
amen
not always saved, and we don't know, or some don't know, and, you know, approach
yeah
them in love. But what do you do when you're sitting under a leadership where the pastor won't allow you to address those things, where the pastor won't address
mm-hmm
it, and therefore mm-hmm the mothers in the church can't address it, the mature
mm-hmm
older people,
mm-hmm,
the seasoned saints can't address it, and then also
yeah
what you do when you do bring them in and you talk to them in love, and they get offended. And then they're
offended
the ones that go run and tell the pastor, and then they want to leave the church because you talk about how I'm dressing. You done bought me a dress. You trying to say I don't dress good. So there's
mm
so many different facets and so many things and personalities that have to be dealt with, you know, when it comes to
mm
such a topic. We would love to say that, yes, everyone should know by now, you know, you shouldn't dress like this. But I attend
mm-hmm
a church where every Sunday it does bother me. I'm tired of seeing dimples in ladies' behind. I don't think I should
mm-hmm
go to church to see that. I'm tired of seeing, you know, the dimples in the thighs. I'm tired of seeing the men's with their with their pants so tight, you see all of their situation, and they're even on the Christ team like this, and it's like, this is not this is not godly. Your stuff should not be on display. You want to sit on the front row in a little bitty skirt, form-fitted, and look like someone to paint it on you. It should be okay for someone to out of love let you know, baby, you know, let's loosen up a little bit. You know, you're real cute and everything, but let's loosen it up. But what do you do when you're in a church where the pastor won't let you be free to do that? Can you talk about that for a moment?
I have anything to say. What if the pastor, the leader of the church, won't address it and won't allow anybody else to address it?
Wow.
In my opinion, that's when you need to question your leadership.
What'd you say, Evangelist?
I said, in my opinion, that's when you need to question your leadership.
Yeah.
So you saying you might need to leave.
Right.
Absolutely. I think that's when I'll have to figure out whether or not I'm going to exit stage left. And, go straight on back to the children's ministry, grab my children, and we chunk the deuces. Because if that's that way, then that's what we consider, a form of, what is the word I'm trying to look for? Compromising, right? Because this is to the point where, you know, this is the anything goes ministry. God said, come as you are. Well,
right.
When people say that, it's not to come as you are in the physical aspect of, you know, if you got a Dolce & Gabbana skirt and you know you're a 16, but you go get an 8 because you need to be on fleet when you go to church.
No,
go to church in proper fitting clothes. And men go buy these skinny jeans when they shouldn't. But if you got the clothes and you have appropriate clothes, then wait a minute, and ain't nobody saying that to them. Then that definitely is a point of time where you have to question the tutelage of the leadership and whether or not this is the ministry that's for you.
I
agree, and you can tell that you're frustrated with it, and I think we just have to accept that as a church. You know, I think they've always dealt with it in church, but we're really dealing with it in this generation.
Yeah.
We're going to see people in the church that are going to dress like that. We have to, you know, just accept that because that's what it is. That's their style. They're going to come. I like, you know, Keto, when you said I'm 40 years old, what I'm doing, I have a little more patience with the younger generation.
Mm-hmm.
If I saw somebody 40 years old coming with their pants down, you know what I'm saying,
right,
under their butt, then it would take me to go and take God, give me the strength, help me to keep my mind, you know what I'm saying, to stay focused on what you have called me to do, because that would aggravate me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, but I can't let my frustrations interfere with what I've been called to do. However, I do not at all agree with the ministry not addressing it, because if we're not going to address the issues, then what is the purpose of the people coming to the church? They come to church to be taught. They come to church to be taught
in
love. And so that's what we're supposed to do. That's just it. Again, I don't think that we should have, that's just quadrilling, that's just my personal opinion, dress codes for, you know, the lay members. However, when it comes to praise team, If you come in, if I'm over the praise team and you come in and you a man and your pants too tight and your skirt all too short, then we're going to have a conversation before we go up there.
That's right.
You know what I'm
saying?
Right. Because that's just what it is. You shouldn't. And again, we need to make sure these things are addressed before we just pull anybody up there anyway. But
Amen.
That's just my opinion.
That's
Mama Johnson
right there.
Oh,
now,
okay.
That's
Mama Johnson. Go on, Amy. But, yeah, I mean, anybody else? Does anybody else have anything to say? What when the leadership won't allow you to address it? And so the older women can't do what they're supposed to do, and the older men can't do what the Bible says. You know, they can't do what the Bible is supposed to do in the church.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm grateful for our ministry at our church, where, you know, where we go, because, you know, like I said, those who are in leadership, we are allowed to say, you know, in love. But we're trained in how to say it. Now, we're taught.
Yeah, it sounds like that's an expectation, and it should be.
Yes.
Yes,
we are taught how to do that. You know, our you know, co-pastor, our bishop, they'll say, you know, please don't go up to the young lady and say, honey, that is too short, and you know better. Come on now. They will tell us, now, that's not what you do. Now, you know, you pull them to the side as leaders. You pull them to the side and you say, you know what, sis, you know, whatever, and, you know, and talk, to, you know, and say whatever. Or, like I said, or our, you know, pastor, she'll do it. You know, she'll say something in love. It's going to be straight up. She's not worried about offending you because it is truth. She's not worried about you being upset or mad. She's going to say it in love. But even in love, people get offended. So, you know, oh, you know, I really love you, sis, and oh, I love you, but this is the truth. Even in love, people get offended. So she doesn't, you know, she does it in love, but we are expected to as leaders as well. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, especially if you are in leadership, you are the eyes and ears, you know, for bishop and pastor. So they don't have to do certain things. You know, deacons, deaconesses, and, you know, whatever, you know, we should be given, you know, more responsibility to help with those types of things as well. That's just, you know, our belief. But, you know, our leadership, they confront it, but I have had a pastor who did not want to, and it was a problem. It was a problem for me. You know, I got a husband. I got two boys. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I got girls. You know what I'm saying? And and I'm just keeping it real. You know, I'm just keeping it real. That was a big problem.
And it sounds like, you know, even whenever we talk, it sounds like your church has a great, like they really have an awesome ministry with the leaders, you know, training up leaders, from what I get.
Ain't no joke.
With,
mm-hmm.
speaking with you.
Yeah.
But no as joke. For the people that get offended, even when
yeah.
you say it the right way, I guess the thing with that is
yeah.
some people, there's not, we're not going to be able to do it right or say it right. They're already just,
right.
they have their minds made up. I wouldn't spend too much time on them.
They're not
You know
ready.
What I'm saying?
That's
Those are the type of people, if you're on the praise team and you just ticked off because somebody don't say something to you, well, I'm just going to go ahead and sit you off of the praise team then.
Right.
That's just what that's going
right.
to be. You know what I'm saying? Because there are people that
right.
want to be up there that are teachable. You know,
mm-hmm.
people are not
That's
teachable.
Right.
That,
Amen.
You know, they
Amen.
Don't want to obey their
They're not
they,
ready.
You know, that's just, so those,
that's
I would,
right.
I would dust, you know, shake the dust right off my feet and move on and just,
yeah.
just let that be. Because some
mm-hmm.
people are going to get offended just regardless. You're trying to
Period.
Help them. You're doing it the right way,
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
And they just mad because they want to do what they want to do. Well, you know,
yeah,
we don't have time for that because you know what? Because it is somebody over there, you know, Lucille over there or whoever, you know, she
mm-hmm.
really want to know. She want to learn. So
That's
let's,
right, yeah.
So let's go ahead
yeah.
and, you know, teach her. But that's just my thought.
Mm. Wow.
Absolutely. Now, when it comes to, and this is where people come into the point where it's not necessarily that they their feelings are hurt, but like
mm-hmm.
you said, Evangelist Kyra, Minister Kyra,
mm-hmm.
like I said earlier, that even if you come in love, they're going to get offended. What it is
yeah.
is they have that lawlessness, and they don't want to be
mm.
told what to do. You know,
mm-hmm.
and then that lawlessness
mm-hmm.
can cause what we know as confusion in the ministry. And the
True.
Word of God clearly said that God is not the author of confusion. And with
Amen.
Him not being the author of confusion, we need to go ye there forth and tell
Amen.
People according to the Word of God what thus says
Amen.
The Lord inside of the living Word, inside
Amen.
Of the living Word, and you
mm-hmm.
do it in love because,
mm-hmm.
you know, Apostle, was saying earlier about making sure that, you know, we do it in love and that by love and kindness have
mm-hmm.
I drawn thee.
Yes, yes.
But nowadays, you can tell somebody, I love you, you know, let me bless you with this gift, let me bless you with this here so we can, or let me take you
mm-hmm.
out and then we get you something to dress. So that way you have some appropriate to dress at church. Now, me, I'm a firm believer in dressing down. I believe you should have a Sunday where, you know, you come in, jeans for change. You know, you call your buddy, tell your buddy to come in, and y'all come into church. You come in your jeans, a nice, you know, polo shirt, you know, a button-down shirt, some nice shoes, you know, and but you dress appropriately. But nowadays, you got men that want to walk around with all these holes in their jeans, showing all their thighs and stuff. Come on, player. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That ain't what, no, that's not what we do. And with that love, and I'm not bashing anybody that comes into the church like that. But if I come to you and I'm coming to you in love, and then you choose to say, you know what, I ain't coming back to that church. Well, if you don't come back, then it wasn't meant for you to begin with to be there. But I'm saying it wasn't meant for them to be there at that moment, because there's a time and a season for everything. You know, I mean, and you might not be in that season to receive what we're telling you when it comes to the standard operation procedure, the SOP of the church.
SOP,
but once you come into the knowledge of the Lord, just as everybody has said throughout the show on tonight, and you get into a deeper relationship, and you develop a good relationship by way of reading the Word and staying consistently in His presence, then the Holy Spirit will convict. You know, and
amen.
And
yes, He will.
That's it.
Yes, He will. Yes, He will.
And I think we just have to find a balance. You know, that's those.
Yes.
I think this is going to be my last, you know, the last thing I have to say on. I think we have to find a balance again, because I think sometimes in the church we go too far. And then, you know, people can go too far. Again, when it comes to new people coming into the church, we just have to expect the world to be the world. We know they've been some of them been raised better, you know what I'm saying? So, but the world is the world. The world does what the world does. You know, and I think that's just a part of it. That's what we have to understand. And like Leanne was saying, you know, some people have you know, low self esteem. That's a lot of the reason
why some
of these women dress like that. They have to they have to know who they are in God. They have to know you don't have to dress this way to get a man.
That's
you don't have to dress this way to make yourself feel pretty, because you're beautiful anyway. And so sometimes, you know, we as mature Christians, we're looking at the outside of things, and God wants us to really seek Him so that He can show us the root of things. We are not seeking Him like we should to really find out the root of these things concerning Sarah, concerning you know what I'm saying, such and such, and you know, we're not asking God to reveal those things to us. And so in everything we need to have a proper balance. There needs to be the teaching. That you definitely just you have to have that. You can't not. Like, I don't understand why. You have to have that. You have to have the teaching. You know, you have to have the examples. You know, like you guys, Kyra, you have to have that. You have to. But at the same time, however, at the same time, we do have to have that love. We do have to have that patience.
Yes, we do
have to have that gentleness. We have to have that, because Christ was an example of all of those things.
Yes, He was.
And if we're Christ-like, then, you know, we have to, these are the things we have to, you know, display. And unfortunately, it's even with the people that's been in the church for 10 years that still dress, and you know you know better. You know you should not be coming in here like that. Now, you know better. And they do.
That's right.
You know, have a sterner hand. I'm not saying, you know, let up off of them. That's not what I'm saying. You know, but we still, you know,
amen.
We just do. We still have to love them and be, you know, we just do. Okay, so that's all I have to say about it.
Amen.
Anybody else have anything else to say about it?
You touched on something that I started doing, you know, about maybe, I don't know, it was around the time your show began, and we touched on the topic, but I make sure that I tell my daughters all the time that I think they're beautiful.
Amen.
And I tell them that just because I don't want them to resort to wearing something that they shouldn't be wearing, or going to go seek that from some other little boy then only wants what he wants. You know, they get that reinformation. They get that from home. Like I tell my girls, you know, you're beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, I even had to learn again to start telling my wife that she was beautiful because I don't want nobody else to be out there telling her that. You know, and it's something that I take for granted because I think they just know it just because I'm there. You know what I mean? Like, but it's not. And
amen.
I think for a little girl to hear that from their father probably would mean a lot more than hearing it from some little boy running up and down the street who only wants what he wants.
Right. And we have to remember that a lot of people in the church are broken. You know, we focus a lot on going outside the church, which we do have to go outside the church. But we have we have so many people inside the church that are broken. We have a lot of broken people, broken ministers, broken, you know what I'm saying, broken deacons, broken praise team members.
Right.
They're still broken because there are things that have not been dealt with like they should, that they should have been dealt with. And so these people are broken. And so sometimes we have to look past that outer, you know, that outer appearance, and we really have to look to God for what's going on the, you know, to God to reveal what's going on the inside. And I don't know, y'all, people don't have to agree with me, but that's my heart. Anybody that knows me, that's me.
Yeah.
You know, we have people that are dying. They're dying younger and younger and younger and younger. And the last thing I want to do is to push them away from Christ because they only have one chance to get their soul right, to push them away from the church. Because I don't like what they had on when they came in. That's the last thing I want to do. And then they walk out that door, and that's the last time they ever came, you know, get a chance to come to church.
That's right.
So that's
right.
Just me. I know I said
that's
I was finished, but
you couple with me, I talked about this here recently, but you know, the average human being's attention span is shorter than a goldfish. So. You know, like you talk the fact that you're pushing them out because of what they're wearing, and they probably weren't paying attention when they were in there in the first place. More than likely, they're not going to come back, especially if they feel disrespected by the way that you approached them and told them, hey, you can't wear that. You know, and that's why I think tact is very important whenever, you know, you're addressing, especially somebody who's young and maybe doesn't know any better. As if you could tell them, hey, you know, it's not appropriate without hurting their feelings, you know, you've won the battle, so to speak.
Agreed.
Amen.
Well, everyone, tonight's show has been phenomenal. I just enjoy the feedback. I enjoyed just the conversation tonight. I think it was fantastic. I'm looking forward to Friday, seeing what the Lord is going to give us to talk about on Friday, because y'all know it's our free flow Friday. So I ask that you all have a blessed remainder of the week. You know, tomorrow is that midpoint, you know, where we can actually say, thank you, Lord, we almost there.
Hallelujah.
So y'all enjoy. So enjoy your Friday, and don't let it just be TGIF, thank God it's Friday, but let it be, thank God I'm forgiven. Y'all have a great and blessed evening, and we love y'all.
Amen.
And we look forward to talking to you on Friday.
Thank
All
you.
Right.
Good night.
Have a good one. Good night.
Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.